We are talking with Dr. Kimberly Freeman. She is the new Tuolumne County Health Officer. She's joining us on this weekend's Motherlode Views. You know, Dr. Freeman, one thing we haven't talked much about is chronic disease prevention. Any advice for just people in the community to try to avoid chronic disease?
Chronic disease is a big problem for a lot of people and can be avoided or mitigated by the simple stuff your doctor has probably told you. Things like getting enough sleep, 7 hours a night at least is recommended for optimal brain and physical balance. Exercising, getting 20 to 30 minutes a day of at least moving your body, even if it's just simply walking, is a great thing for health. Eating healthy foods, greens, vegetables, those things all help with physical health. Other things that are very important are helping with mental health, connecting with those that you love, having hobbies, enjoying your life, doing things that help with resiliency, such as even meditation. There's a lot of ways to do it, and I know it sounds hokey pokey, but there actually are studies out there that have been proven by science that simply meditating, simply trying to quiet your mind for 5 minutes a day improves your longevity and your health.
Good to know. Anything else in relation to the upcoming fire season? We're actually kind of in the midst of fire season here. We've had quite a few fires recently already. You know, just for people who want to get ready for that and make sure that they're prepared and have everything they need, what would you recommend?
It's very important to be prepared for fire season. We unfortunately live in a beautiful area that is always at risk. Having a go bag with the essentials that you would need for up to 72 hours, including your medications or anything that going without would impact your health, is really important. And having that in an area that is easy to get. Some people leave it in their car all the time, especially if they're at work and may not be able to get back home. Some people pack two bags, one that they keep at home, one that they keep at work. Either way, being prepared for the worst is really important, especially as it might impact your health. Other things with fire season, especially if you have sensitive lungs, if the air is dirty, stay inside. And with heat in general, drink plenty of water.
Anything to keep an eye on? Unfortunately, we've had some of those upper 90s. A lot of people do work outside. Just are the things to watch for if you're going to be out for an extended period in the hot heat?
The most important thing is keeping yourself shaded, wearing a hat with a wide brim, and water, keeping yourself hydrated. Also, if you're sweating a lot, doing hard work, replacing the electrolytes, because when you sweat your salt. So making sure that you have electrolytes either in your meals or your drinks so that you can replace that and continue to work. It's not particularly dangerous to be outside during these times, except that you should follow the precautions to be safe.
What's the difference between like heat exhaustion and having a heat stroke?
The biggest difference is the step between heat exhaustion and heat stroke is how severe it is and that it's impacting your mentation and all of your organ systems. So some people will say, you know, going from heat exhaustion to heat stroke, you stop sweating, and that's a bad sign. That's true for the most part, but also people become obtunded. They become loopy when they're going into heat stroke, which is an incredibly dangerous thing because those folks are no longer able to seek shade or do the smart things to get themselves out of their bad situation. They're in a significant emergency, and a lot of people with heat stroke will have either long-term devastating consequences or die.
I also want to ask you, too, I heard there was an announcement made about some changes statewide and at the national level regarding who can get the COVID vaccine. And can you explain a little bit about the latest for who's eligible and who's kind of recommended to get it?
Just a few days ago, it was approved that 6 months and up for both Pfizer and Moderna can get the vaccine. Those vaccines have now come to the county. We have received our doses and will be starting public health vaccine clinics for 6 months and up next week. So that's a new recommendation to protect that most young population starting at 6 months. Other recommendations that have been there for a while have not changed to get boosters over 50, boosters and extra doses if you have a chronic disease, boosters for healthcare workers, and boosters even over 12 are now recommended.
And do we know what the kind of latest is? I mean, if you have the vaccine and the booster, is it designed to prevent it entirely or just kind of make symptoms less severe?
That's a good question. It is definitely not preventing it entirely. We are seeing cases more and more so, actually, of people with vaccination getting sick. We continue to not see the vaccinated become hospitalized or die as frequently, but that ratio isn't as strong as it used to be with the earlier iterations of COVID. The milder versions that we're seeing currently of the disease is debated that it's milder because more people are vaccinated versus that the disease actually got milder. We don't have studies to confirm one or the other, so it's an interesting thought. But I can't actually tell you for sure that the disease is milder because of the vaccine. Regardless, we are seeing milder cases, and we do see that people seem to do better with vaccination.
You have a very challenging job as health officer, and it was, you know, extra challenging during the COVID-19 pandemic, and things were really put front and center. How has the experience been early on for you? Have you been embraced pretty well in the community so far?
I think so. The public health team, the Health and Human Services team, are wonderful, wonderful people. It's great to be a part of the team. I love learning new things and new challenges, so it's been right up my alley. I feel like I'll be learning quite a bit for quite a time, but it's great.
Is there quite a bit of coordination with the public health office as well as the other providers throughout the county?
There's quite a bit of coordination, although I do think that there could be more. The other clinics, you know, they all are their own entities and they operate themselves, but we are always here as a resource.
Well, any other challenges on the horizon when it comes to just health in general that you can think of as we come to a close on this weekend show?
Great question. Unfortunately, I think the biggest thing on the horizon is mental health. As COVID isolated people and took away their, sometimes their economic resources or what have you, and those things even without COVID are worsening right now. The lack of health providers in our area, mental health providers particularly, and the higher need for it after all of these challenges to help people get back on their feet, help with resiliency, it's something we can all use. I think that's going to be our biggest challenge.
What can be done kind of at a local level to improve that?
There's so many ways it could be improved. One would be to do our best to recruit more providers to the area. And the other is, as you know, in public health, some of the things that I would like to work on is what we can do as a community to make things better. What can we do to get people, you know, outdoors, enjoying things together, like music at the farmers market, for instance, things that people can look forward to and enjoy that may not be directly mental health, but are things that help improve people's outlook and are enjoyable. There's many ways we can probably attack this, but I think we're going to be running behind for a while just because of the overwhelming demand.
A lot more to public health than just medicine, per se.
Correct.
And you mentioned Blue Zones. That's a group that you like to work with in the future here as well?
So Blue Zones have been brought to the county by the hospital and as a group. A Blue Zone is an area that has been identified in the United States as an area with longer longevity and better health. So you can look online as to which areas those are. The goal of the Blue Zones project is to make the Tuolumne County area, Sonora area, one of those places. And it's all about good things, more hiking trails, ability to be outside, more health providers, better access to the health providers. There's nothing about it that's a downside, but there's many, many, many ways to get those things put in place, many challenges to getting all of them done. But a great outlook, especially if we can get even part of them done.
And finding that life balance.
Correct. Very important.
Well, Dr. Freeman, we're running to the end of this weekend's Motherlode Show, Views Show. Any closing comments you'd like to make?
I want to thank the community for bringing me here in the first place 15 years ago. And I love it here, and I'm happy to serve in this capacity now.
And if anybody has any information for public health, what's the best way to reach out? Is there a website?
Public health does have a website. You can Google Tuolumne County Public Health and it will bring you right there. There is a phone number as well, 209-533-7401. And you can be directed to any of the lines to answer your questions.
Well, Dr. Freeman, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Again, that was Dr. Kimberly Freeman. We thank her for joining us on this weekend's Motherlode Views. She is the new health officer for Tuolumne County. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we are going to focus the show on the Motherlode Fair. It's coming up. It's a big event in the community. We're going to hear about various different things, such as the Junior Livestock Auction and events that are going to be taking place over the weekend. Next week's show is going to feature Ron Hamilton. He's a member of the Fair Board of Directors for the Motherlode Fair, getting us up to speed on everything fair-related. And if you missed this or other Motherlode Views shows, a reminder that you can find it archived on mymotherlode.com in the media section. Motherlode Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. I'm BJ Hansen, and we'll see you next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.